it an interesting
centerpiece.
People are gonna be like, what the fuck is that?
Hello everybody and welcome to the Filipino Freethinkers podcast. It's also a video. I'm Red.
I'm Pepe.
I'm Margie.
I'm Rhea.
Hi Rhea, welcome.
Hi, yeah.
Let's give her an authentic first time welcome on the podcast. So we're talking about two things. The first is Greg Slagman's bill that protects property rights of same-sex couples. And the second is a child who in Poland who recently committed suicide to be reunited with her father. So let's start with a more positive news. Let's hear more about that bill, Pepe.
In a nutshell, Greg Slagman proposed a bill that will protect property rights of same-sex couples who are already living together. So they have the option to have the property shared, or like, do they want to continue owning things individually? So it's pretty much like the property rights of married couples, heterosexual couples who are already married. Except this is now being being extended to homosexual couples who are already living together.
So in this piece of legislation, living together as same-sex couples is put on the same level as being married.
Like pretty much, yeah.
Civil.
With regards to property rights.
So is this a positive thing? Of course it's a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a positive thing. But I find it weird because I've been living with someone for a long time. So but we're in a heterosexual relationship. What's stopping us from getting those property rights too?
I've been living with someone for a long time as well. And you're right. Like, we could have actually...
And you don't legally...
We could have registered for that kind of wedding. I think there's when you're living together with someone for 5 years, there's that option that you can file so that you
get a license or
that kind of marriage, I think.
Yeah.
But my question is, does this law also apply to straight couples
or couples of whatever?
Yeah, or whatever, because the assumption here is that if you work together to make a living together, then you would have equal right to the property that you own together
over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. So that if you should separate, or if one of the partners should pass away, or whatever, you want to end that relationship, you can easily split the belongings, and no third party can interfere and take what's not really theirs. So this would definitely be something good for same-sex couples, but I wonder why it's not the same for heterosexual couples.
I have a feeling it's because maybe it's sort of what do you call this? A consolation prize, maybe?
It seems that way.
Yeah, it seems that way.
We can't give you wedding yet, so why don't you have a bone, like this bone? But the thing is, if this bill gets passed, then heterosexual couples would be at a disadvantage now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they would have to go through the whole wedding
And
process.
Yeah.
Some people don't want that.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's more complicated to get a wedding than like just apply for these property rights.
Yes.
I have a question about this bill. So it grants the rights to co-ownership to same-sex couples. And they don't. Do they have to get a marriage license?
You can.
You can.
So you don't.
Yeah.
What would be the proof of
living together?
Living together.
Probably just an affidavit that you would both sign, saying that
you've been together for so many.
Years, and then you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know exactly
expenses.
How. Maybe a witness would help. But yeah, like you just tell the relevant people that you live together or that you intend to live together. Does this work in that kind of way?
That should also extend heterosexual.
So how?
But it, I don't think it does.
So how strongly do you think the Catholic Church and conservative groups and individuals would try to oppose this measure?
It's gonna be the same hubbub about it's gonna be one of the death bills granting rights to homosexuals, and it'll be the death of morals.
I wonder
society.
Though, Like, some of them would definitely think it's a foot in the door strategy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It would make same-sex marriage
slippery
easier to pass.
Thing, yeah.
But I would imagine that some of them would think this might be the way that we could oppose same-sex marriage by telling them, you already have this. Why would you need same-sex marriage?
You
some of them would, yeah.
Happening with the, yeah, like, you already have this bone.
Yeah. Why would you need the meat?
I want the whole, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Be vegetarian. So. Okay. Other thoughts on this issue?
I just got curious. Like, yeah. I'm just going to throw the question out there. Diba, technically in Catholicism, they don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So is it okay if two gay men live together?
But they're celibate?
Something like that? Like,
of course it is.
It is.
As long as they don't lie in the same way that a man lies for the woman. Bible. Yeah, citation there.
Yeah.
Although I'm wondering if most like conservatives would be against this bill, because a lot of them, they're against the redefinition of marriage,
it's not the
sanctity
marriage.
Of marriage. It's marriage. It's
just
not marriage.
It's not.
It's just another legal thing.
Yeah.
So
I think,
I don't know if they're going to fight about that.
I think one of the things that they would be against is that they would think if people availed of this option, then they would be brought to temptation. And of course, conservatives don't want people tested because they don't have faith in people's power to resist temptation. So any other words on this issue before we move to the next one?
I think it's definitely
it's a positive thing.
It's a foot in the door. It brings the issue into public discussion, and then it raises good questions about the places of homosexuals in society.
No, I disagree. I think it's not a foot in the door. I think if this bill passes, then I promise we won't ask for same-sex marriage anymore. Promise, we won't ask for it anymore. No, it's not a foot in the door. Right? It's not a foot in the door,
sure.
It's the only thing we're asking.
If you're against same-sex marriage, you will be for this cohabitation property bill. So our next discussion will be about Maria Kislow. So she was a child in Poland, and one day she was found hanging in her bedroom. So she hung herself, and allegedly she killed herself so that she could reunite with her father who had died earlier.
In heaven.
So according to the story, she had been depressed, but her mother didn't really know how depressed she was. So until it got to a point where she had to take her own life. Now the sources of this story so far have been mainly two websites, mirror.co.uk and the Daily Mail, and
which are tabloids.
The track record of these sources is not as good as CNN or Reuters or any of the more credible news sources, so take it with a grain of salt. But what I want to talk about is the questions that stories like this bring up. Mm-hmm. What kinds of superstition is it safe to teach children? Like, what are the dangers of indoctrination? Like,
or even just the dangers of saying there's an afterlife, you know, like,
or,
that's
yeah,
where
or
the
things
belief
like that.
In that.
And more relevantly, Halloween is coming up, and I'm sure a lot of beliefs about the afterlife and about superstitious creatures are gonna crop up. And a lot of these things do affect young people a lot, because they tend to be more scared than adults, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about that. First, let's focus on the story in Poland, if it were true. Let's assume that it is true. So of course, it is a sad story.
Yeah.
What are your guys' takes on this?
Well, I think because I already posted it on my wall on Facebook, and some of my friends have commented, and the discussion went something like, we were weighing the depression against the superstition. Like, what was more
there's also
at fault,
that
or what's
factor.
The bigger reason for the child committing suicide. And personally, I think these two problems are somewhat separate. We can address them both separately. Like, we can address depression, and we can also address superstition at the same time. So it's not an either-or thing.
Mm.
Definitely with superstition, my stance is, like, we should not be feeding this stuff into the minds of children. Or if if ever we do, we should be doing it in such a way that we're teaching them why these superstitions are wrong. So that's how I feel about it.
But that's less comforting, you know. So that's why it's so easy to just tell them that, you know, oh, you'll see your Lola again, you'll see your dad again when
they're in a better place.
That they're in a better place. Yeah. That's kind of like the more fluffy saying.
Okay, but I think that's a old-fashioned way of going about it. I think there are more modern, more truthful ways of telling kids, comforting kids over something that could be potentially distressing. For example, like if their grandfather died, you could very logically explain to them, and with care, that, oh, your grandfather passed away, he's no longer with us, his body can only go so far, but he lived a really good life, and what do you call this? Now he's part of
the ground.
not the ground, but
The earth.
He's energy again.
Something like that. Yeah. Concerned. Like Deepak. not energy.
Deepak Chopra.
No, not that. You know, he's still part of the universe. He's just not.
Conscious anymore.
He's just like molecules.
Yeah. Teach the kid about relativity as well while you're at it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just basically
thermodynamics.
But I think, you know, that's a cynical way of looking at how people deal with these situations. It's as if these people are only lying to give comfort to young children. But I think in most cases, they actually believe these things. They think that there actually is a heaven, that the soul of the departed is actually there, and that one day they will actually meet each other. So it's not an option of, can I just give them rational things in this explanation? It's what they believe is actually true.
I think it started out that way, though, like an adult comforting a child.
This one well-intentioned adult.
Yeah, and then the child just kept that belief until somebody else was a child.
It's a branch of lies.
Taught that kid, and then people grew up with what they were taught as children, usually. Yeah. So it kind of happened that way.
Well, even adults, when you tell them the whole, you know, it's... You could indoctrinate even adults. Like you can teach them religion or superstition at whatever age. It's really
if they're not
a way of thinking, you know, that anyone of any age can get used to. So, but yeah, it can become a shortcut sometimes. Like when you want a kid to behave, you can tell them Santa Claus will give you a nice gift.
Yeah.
Or you'll get kidnapped by a mumu if you don't behave.
You'll either get a bunch of coal or a PS2 for Christmas. So take your pick, right?
You'll either get a PS3 or a PS2.
PS4.
PS4.
Okay. Yeah, but speaking of these superstitions that we use on children, it's like I said, it's Halloween, and so, of course, a lot of kids are still very afraid of the dark. They find it difficult to go to sleep. They're afraid of boogeymen, like under the bed, or in the Philippines, it's inside the closet. There's something there, no?
Or on the roof.
Or on the roof, or wherever.
Outside the window.
And instead of telling these children that there are no ghosts, these things do not exist, I think other superstitions are introduced to counter, you know, there are angels that protect you. And again,
it's a whole mythology.
And again, the thing is, they believe these things.
Yeah.
You know, they believe in the boogeyman, they believe in ghosts, they believe in angels. And it's, you know, you have to work within the system to be consistent, I suppose. But I remember when I was a kid, when I believed these things, and I did believe, I was very afraid. And what would I do? I would pray.
And sleep with a rosary.
I didn't go that far.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, something I was particularly afraid of was like nuno sa punso. Whenever you had to urinate
or point to,
you have to go tabi tabi po.
Yeah.
I used to be afraid of that stuff.
Yeah.
You urinated on trees often.
You heard it here first.
I was a child.
And the variation of, you know, the permutations of which superstitions people still believe in or don't believe anymore, of course, varies a lot. But a lot of people find it difficult to let go of the whole thing because it could unravel until you have nothing left. If
I mean, it's not that. Pwede ring their common thinking is like, what have you got to lose? That's
so it's a Pascal's wager kind of.
Yeah.
Like, what's the harm in doing it?
What's the harm?
What's the harm? And
just
this,
in case it's real.
And this hypothetical story of the kid. You know, it's one example. If it's true or not, I'm sure. Like other stories like this, like the more recent story about that pilot, who instead of going through the safety precautions,
just said
a prayer. Oops. Like, you know, those. Yeah, that there's the harm. I mean, superstition can be harmful.
Alternative medicine.
And
if you want more details, there's a link here. What's the harm?
There you go. There, that's a nice. I'm gonna repeat it here again, just to make sure that you check it out. Superstition can be harmful, and this Halloween, of course, it's another pagan, very superstitious thing.
Yeah.
A lot of Catholics, of course, will be going to masses or have already gone to masses, saying that where the priest would tell these kids to dress up as saints. Instead of monsters and demons that glorify the, and the priest won't say these demons, these ghosts are not real. They can, because that's the whole thing.
Of their whole package.
It's part of the package. And again, like of course, some people really believe in these things. I advise you to question everything that you believe. A second, a third time, just read different perspectives and see how it affects your kids. Because there is harm. Like a lot of people would say, I turned up okay. Like I believed in all of these things and I turned out okay. But sometimes you don't. And do you really
sometimes
want to risk
it
that?
It ends in tragedy.
Exactly. I mean, if I were to raise a kid, I would try to make sure that I was as truthful as possible. There are ways to be truthful to a kid without traumatizing them. I think we've just been so spoiled and so lazy about trying to explain the harder things in life. When if we just give it a little more thought, we can actually be able to tell kids anything without having to bullshit them, basically.
Not to discount what you just said, you know, of course, I would think parenting is really hard.
Yeah, of course.
You know. But siguro ano yung iba rin, they just get so tired of kids asking why.
Yeah.
Like why? So maybe they're like, you know what? Like he's in heaven, or you know what? Santa will give you coal.
It's a
quick shortcut because you know things need to get done too.
Yeah. So we'll just take meds and calm
what?
Down.
Or other than superstition, you could think twice about having kids in the first place.
That's true. I mean,
uphold the RH law. And with that, thank you for watching this episode of the podcast, and see you next time.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! Trick or treat!
Boo!